We're reading the book of James this summer. And James is a kind of show me kind of guy. Show me the evidence of your faith. And he keeps looking for different things. This time it's about being careful with our speech. Follow along as I read God's word to us this morning. He addresses preachers and teachers first. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect. Think mature, perfect. Able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be. May the Spirit bless our reading and then our hearing that word deep within our lives. One of the fun things to do with kids is to teach them how to cook, how to bake. They love to make a mess in the kitchen. We love to help them learn in the process. And when you're teaching a child to bake, you need to teach them how to tell when something is done baking, right? Not real hard. If you're baking a cake, how do you tell when it's done? Stick a toothpick into it, right? And if the toothpick comes out clean, then the cake is done. If you are baking a quiche, how do you tell when it's done? Stick a knife into it. If it comes out clean, not wet, it's baked. It's all the way done. If you're making a baked potato, stab it with a fork, right? If it's soft, it's done. If it's hard, it's not. Why do we have to stick something into foods to tell when they're done baking? Because you can't tell on the outside what's happening on the inside, right? The outside looks good, but the inside might not be done. How can you tell when a Christian is done baking? Now, in Colorado, you have to be careful of that because baked means something else here. But how can you tell when a Christian is done maturing? At Trinity, we define being a Christian as living with God at the center of our lives. So if we put Jesus in the center, if we invite him into our hearts, if we live with God at the center of who we are rather than on the edges of our lives, if we're sharing all the trials and joys and decisions and temptations of life with God, with Jesus, we would expect to see some change, some transformation in our lives. We'd expect to see some new desires, some new behaviors in how we live. How can you tell when that is happening? How do you test how close you are to being done or baked that a Christian might be? Fortunately, we don't have to stick one another to find out. Jesus said we can listen to what comes out of them because our words reveal what's happening inside. So we think that James is the brother of Jesus. There are several James in the Bible. And James tells us, if you are a follower of Jesus, we should hear it. We should be able to hear the evidence of your love for Jesus by the words that come out of your mouth. Because our mouths act like pressure relief valves for whatever's cooking inside of us. So when things heat up, they create steam, they create vapor, and it has to go someplace. The matters of the heart vent the pressure through our words. James believes that while we're waiting for the deep changes that only the Holy Spirit can bring on the inside, taming our hearts, we can practice being careful with our speech. We can use care when we speak to one another, especially when we're angry or upset. James says, if we are careful about what we say, we can steer our whole lives towards God's best. Just by controlling what we say, we can steer our whole lives. And he gives us a couple examples. I asked Harrison if he would help me. Harrison, come on up. Where are you, man? Yeah, you don't know what you're going to do you? So, and you probably wouldn't have done this if I told you. So James gives us an example. He says, if you put a bit into the mouth of a horse, you can control it. You can steer it. So I was wondering if you would put this bit in your mouth. Melissa, did you wash this? You don't have to do that, but here, hold it in your hands, okay? Hold the bit with your hands. We're going to slip the bridle over your head. Okay, there you go. And I've got reins now. So, yay. So James says, with something so small as a bit, you can control something as large as a horse. With something so small as our mouths, we can control the direction of our lives, where it's going. When a horse has been well trained, all you have to do is put a little pressure on one side and it causes the horse to go the other way. Yeah. If a horse is getting out of control, you take the rein on one side and you pull it hard and that pulls the horse's head down and makes them circle around. Just with exact, good job, buddy. Yeah, yeah. And if you did not have a bit, we'll take that off. Sure you don't want to try it? If you did not have a bit and the horse got spooked, all you could do is hang on to the mane and wait till that horse was done running itself out. You could not control it. But with something so small as controlling the mouth, you control the direction of his whole life. Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. They're clapping, grateful it wasn't them who was up here. James has shown us that even though our tongues are such a small part of our bodies, they are capable of tremendous influence. For good and for ill. He says the tongue, though it's small, boasts of great exploits. It's true, the tongue can do great things. It can affirm, it can bless, it can build up, it can also tear down. He says with that same tongue, we bless God and we curse people who are made like God. And James is focusing on the harm we can do with our tongue. What we say can be like a spark that starts a wildfire. He says that in the next verses we didn't read. That our words, once they leave our mouth, are like a fire that's crept outside of the rock circle of a campfire. And once a fire's gotten outside that circle, it has the capacity to burn the whole forest down. We all know what that's like, to have said a few words in hasty anger, immediately wish we could take those words back, and yet there's no way to contain the flame of what we've started. If we're following Jesus, if he's at the center of our lives, it's going to help us contain the damage, the powerful damage of our words, because we'll control our mouths, control what we say. So how do we restrain the fire in our words? How do we bridle our mouth so as not to cause more harm than good? I'm going to give you two suggestions. The first way to control your words so as to direct your life is simply to pause for 3 beats before you speak. Pause and count to 3 before you speak. There's always a split-second window of opportunity in every conflict during which we get to choose how we're going to respond. It's always there, that window to choose. You may not realize it's there because you're in such a hurry to speak, but there's always the opportunity to pause and count to 3 or 10 or 100 if it takes that, to allow some space, some dead air time in the conversation while you ponder the impact of your words. That's why we teach children to count to 10 when they're mad before reacting. We give them time to think. Time to reflect on what will happen with these words I'm planning to say once they're out of my mouth. Will they hurt? Will they help? Will they start a fire? Will they help to put out the flame? This pause is when the Holy Spirit is allowed to lead us. Rather than reacting immediately, we're slowing things down so we can carefully respond, so we can listen for the check of the Spirit in our hearts. So we can listen for the restraint of the Spirit that says, you'd better not say that. And God does not leave us alone with something so powerful as our words. But instead, the Spirit is there. The Spirit will interrupt our angry impulse if we pause long enough to listen. So we can bridle our words by pausing before we speak. But we can also direct our words well if we speak tentatively about what is upsetting us. Usually when we're upset, it's because someone has done something we don't like, and then we immediately assign a motive as to why they did that. We tell ourselves what their actions mean about their thoughts and feelings toward us. And it's really those supposed thoughts and feelings behind their actions that upset us the most. So if your spouse is late getting home from work, you might think that he or she values their work more than me. But it could have just been a train stopped on the tracks. Your child forgot to take the trash cans out to the curb again. And your assumption is you're doing this on purpose. You're not trying hard enough to remember. But in reality, teenager brains are worthless in the morning. Physically impossible for them to do anything more than get to school by 7:30. So better to suggest taking the trash out the night before. We can never know what someone is thinking or feeling. So we should speak tentatively. We should check out our assumptions. We can express our anger and say, you're late again. You forgot to take out the trash again. We can tell them what we think that means. It feels like you care more about your work than me. It feels like you're not trying hard enough to remember to take out the trash. And then we can ask, did I get that right? Is that what that means? Sometimes we get so stuck trying to convince the other person what they're really feeling, when the reality is only that person knows what's going on inside. And rather than convince them of something they're not feeling, what we really want is to connect. We want to know what is true, what they were feeling. So we can speak carefully, tentatively, checking out what we think is happening, asking them, is that right? Did I get that right? Or we can bridle our tongue, steer the ships of our lives by pausing before we speak. So James is always looking for proof. Don't tell me you're a Christian. Show me. What have your words shown this week? Where are you only half-baked inside? What more is there for God to do? And can you partner with that by just showing some restraint on the outside while the Spirit continues to change us from the inside out? Let's pray together. Lord, this is a season in society where words have carried nations away, where people have said things that were exaggerated or harsh or inconsiderate or untrue. And rather than seeking reconciliation, rather than renewing relationship, others have just responded in like manner. Our words have set our ship aflame. So this is a time, Lord, in which you might bring your Spirit among your people to temper their speech, to wait before we respond, and to check out our assumptions. What a difference you could make, Lord Jesus, if we just spoke like you did. We pray that you would bring to mind the ways in which we might need to change, might need to practice being careful until our hearts can internalize that care and it comes more automatically. Enable us to be a blessing to this world, to bless those you love, those created in your likeness, as we bless you too. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.